think it's a good idea, but judging by everybody's reaction around here, nobody moved.
The wailing siren sounded for a minute, but there was little reaction from people in many areas. Officials say the new test will ensure the public knows what to do in the case of an imminent attack. I'm Mike Hempen.
News and analysis at townhall.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road. Well, hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio, that's the name of the show. And I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living, Digital World, welcome. Program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news that you can use. Every week we're brought to you by Advanced Automotive in the city of Reading and throughout the world, brought to you by ourselves until we get a national sponsor. Speaking of
Advanced Automotive and us, that's it.
That's it. Yeah. Speaking of around the world,
they've been loyal supporters of our program from day one.
You can subscribe to our podcast at boomertechradio.com. Follow the link there. Also, if you have, iTunes. Or Google Play, you can subscribe through those services. Stitcher app on any platform, you can subscribe. Just type in Boomer Tech Radio.
All the usual nefarious
places. Usual suspects.
Yes. And, you know, we haven't had a lot of people, but then we don't really push the podcast either. I mean, it's not like we advertise it. So if you like it, tell your friends.
Tell a friend.
A common remark we get from folks that we do actually run into that love your show, but I don't understand half of what you're talking about. But that's kind of why we do it. They keep listening, so they must get something out of it.
So, yeah, last week we talked a bit extensively about digital currencies, bitcoins.
Right. Can do a short recap of a little bit of that.
We can do a recap of it, and also it's still something hard because, it's not like my credit card. Yeah, well, actually, it's more like your credit card than not.
Yeah, especially if you have a chip credit card.
It combines what you do with your credit card and paper money because the paper money has a serial number on it, which is why you can't take a 20 and run it through a Xerox and try to spend that.
Right. So it's always a bit interesting. So, of course, bitcoins are in the news this week because they briefly topped a value of $11,000. It fell right back again.
Yeah.
But that's huge. I remember when bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies came out that there was a value of, you know, I mean, it was a big deal when it went over 100 or whatever. You know, they started out at a fairly modest value.
First,
I don't remember what the history
first
exactly.
First of the year, they were at 1,000. So right. This is a...
Gone up almost 1,000 a month.
Yeah.
They have gone up 1,000 a month, at least briefly anyway. So what cryptocurrency is it's a digital currency. You say, well, that's not real. Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. And
how real is the money that when you fire up your computer and you look on your online bank and you see X number of dollars.
Right. Those are digital accounting.
Yeah.
That's a digital accounting of your dollars. So if I hand you a dollar bill, Bob, that is now your dollar bill.
Right.
It went from me to you.
You can go to the bank and say, I want that money. They're going to hand you pieces of paper with serial numbers on them. That's money because we agree it's money.
That's exactly right. But it also has ownership.
Backed by the full faith and credit. Yeah.
Well, no, that $20 bill that you have in your hand, assuming you know everybody agrees that that's got some value, but that particular $20 bill belongs to you until you give it away.
Mm-hmm.
With digital items, digital things can be replicated and they look exactly like the original in the digital world.
Yeah.
So the question is then, how do you have a completely digital currency where you can't go get a coin that represents a Bitcoin? There is no such thing. Like you can go to the bank and withdraw your electronically stored dollars into paper money. Bitcoins don't work that way. So how do you solve the problem with Bitcoins of ownership? Saying, these are my Bitcoins, they're nobody else's, and oh, but I'll share this Bitcoin with you, so now it's yours.
Right.
How do you transfer that ownership, and how do you keep a log of ownership? And they have a very clever system for doing that.
Yeah, Bitcoins are digital currency. Bitcoin itself is not tied to a bank or a government entity. The coins are created by users who mine the coins by lending their... Now, this is... I thought it had... Originally, I had read about solving a very complex equation, but it's actually the system rewards people who undertake the task of verifying the ledgers.
But that's where the program is.
Yeah.
It's the ledger keeping that you get paid for that service, but that ledger keeping is very complicated. And you don't just
huge
do it.
Huge number crunching.
Yes, a big number crunching. And you don't just solve that on your home PC. So if you think you're going to be able to go, you know, get a nice gaming machine or something that's super fast and be able to mine your own little Bitcoins, you're not going to make very much money.
Maybe
in
20
here.
Gaming machines.
Yeah, something like that.
That's where all those video cards
So are. It's an expensive investment into the hardware quality that it takes to keep all of these ledger problems right, if you will. And it's not like... The computers that are working through these ledger problems and verifying those ledger problems are, they don't, you know, they're not always successful. There's a time frame involved with that. That's partly why you have to have
10 minutes or something.
Right. You have to have a special computer that can work that fast. Now, you can buy into, if you will, a collective that has that ability. It's like Borg. Exactly. That sort of thing. So if somebody shows up with a Bitcoin... a counterfeit Bitcoin, and it's not theirs, the system will say, nope. And it's like, you know, you ask 20 ledgers, you know, who does this belong to? Well, it belongs to you, to Joe or Mary, and those agree, and the one doesn't agree. Well, then, sorry, Charlie, you know, sorry, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
So it's keeping track of all of this that is interesting, and so it's the security of that is the tricky part, because as everyone knows, computer systems can be hacked. So in a conversation with somebody, Bob, the person said, well, Bitcoins aren't real. They aren't, you know...
It's not a thing that you can touch.
Yeah, not a thing you can touch. And so our first thought is, well, anytime you use your credit card, nobody's touched the money.
Yeah.
It's all a digital transaction.
Yes, but I can go get money out of the ATM. That is pieces of paper with special printing on it.
Right. Exactly. It's not a
digital... It is backed
digital...
by the faith and credit.
Exactly. And it's because the government says this is what it's worth, or we all agree that has value. But U.S. dollars are controlled by basically U.S. Treasury.
By the Fed, yeah.
Yeah, by the Fed. And the thing about Bitcoins is nobody really controls them. It's
which makes the governments very nervous.
It does make governments very nervous, because you know, who establishes the value? Who backs that? Well, as it turns out, our own government is thinking about...
Is dabbling with cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I have a theory, mm-hmm, about this, mm-hmm, as to why. Because if the government has a success with cryptocurrency, they may start requiring people to work in cryptocurrency, and they can track all this stuff.
Yes. Contrary to the popular belief, cryptocurrencies are not completely anonymous, because the reason that it works is that there is a chain of custody.
Correct.
For each Bitcoin identifier.
They know
who had it
and where it's been and where it's going.
And precise timestamping of every transaction ensures that nobody can go back after the fact and make an alteration because the timestamps won't line up.
Right. And so think about this. There are elements in the economy that are cash-based. It's a cash economy because it's not traceable in the sense that if you're dealing purely in cash, you never put it in the bank. You never do any of that. They don't know who's owned that money. It could change hands 20 times, and the government has absolutely no idea where that $20 been, that $20 bill has been.
Correct.
Until somebody actually deposits it somewhere, theoretically it could be tracked into that digital database, aka, you go online in your bank and the bank says this. But do you have a direct deposit? If you have direct deposit, that's basically electronic money.
Yeah.
There's no paper. The government doesn't send paper to the bank. It sends electronic paper, if you will.
Correct.
So you're dealing with digital money already, but the thing about it is when you go to the bank
and
you...
Just using terms we know.
Right. You bring out paper cash, that could go anywhere, and it's not traceable.
Yep. There are...
Ownership is not traceable.
There are some governments in the U.S. among them that may be embedding RFID technology into large bills so that when you pass through, say, the securities checkpoint at the airport, if you've got $10,000 worth of U.S. dollars in your check-in luggage, the bells are going to start ringing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course, I wouldn't put $10,000 in the check-through bags anyway, but the point is made. So your credit card that has a chip on it is one attempt at security, ownership of that account, ownership of the money attached to that account, the credit attached to that account. So in that sense, this is like the digital bookkeeping that cryptocurrencies go through.
So we're going to toss this out here. If you are curious, the first thing you want to do is research.
Yep.
And I guarantee if you type in buy Bitcoin, you will get at least 50 hits on people offering to do this for a fee. The ones that are most advertised are probably the ones you should be most worried about.
Yeah, generally speaking.
There is risk, but you can minimize that risk by doing your research.
Your homework.
Doing a lot of homework.
Yep.
Checking from different sources. There's a great article on Mashable about cryptocurrencies and wallets and exchanges. And there are exchanges for Bitcoin. There's one here in the U.S. called Coinbase. That is very well regarded. Another one, I don't have that right here in front of me, but you can store the code either in an online database or you can store it in your own device. The trouble there is, what happens if the device gets lost? Guess what? The cash just went away.
That's exactly right, because you can't prove ownership. Witness this story I came across last week about a gentleman that destroyed a hard drive in a computer, which was his only copy, the only record he had of the key to the account that had his bitcoins, and he lost something like 2,500 bitcoins. Do the math at today's price.
Yeah, $10,000
a pop. $10,000 a pop. There went your money. So that's like, burning up your money or losing it somewhere like that. That's pretty painful. But digitally,
it's gone.
It's gone. Can't prove it.
Yeah. Storing Bitcoin on, say, some media that may go out of style is probably not a good idea.
Right. So there's a whole bunch of questions about how Bitcoins might become more prevalent or how they stay safe. And if more people start using Bitcoins, and certainly when things get to the value that they have this year, this becomes very attractive for hacking and people trying to steal. People are always trying to steal your money in one way or another anyway.
Yeah.
Even via legitimate means where you give it up. You buy a junky toy or something.
Yeah. Thus far, though, the system has proved to be very resilient. Now, the exchanges, there are some famous hacks where Bitcoins were lost, but they didn't compromise the Bitcoins. They compromised the exchanges that were storing the Bitcoins.
Right.
In fact, Overstock.com offers a Bitcoin option, as does Microsoft, for some transactions. So it is starting to take hold. There are speculators starting to go, this has some interest to it.
Has some teeth to it now.
Which could possibly drive the price even further. Is it going to do a tulip-type bubble? Look the story up. It's a great story from the 1600s. Is that likely to happen? Possibly. Could somebody come up with a virus that trashes the entire setup? Well, somebody could come up with a virus that could trash our entire banking system.
Right. In that capacity, it is probably no more or less vulnerable than existing systems that we have. And in some ways, it may be more robust
because of the distributed nature
of it. Right. And if you build the right security, when one says, yo, I'm under attack, and the others go, okay, not talking to you.
Yeah.
Virus or whatever doesn't spread, and like anything else, you can be defrauded of your bank account if somebody gets a hold of your credit card or debit card or whatever, hacks into your account. So if this were to become more viable, then Bitcoins are going to have the same limits on liability that, say, your credit card does.
Yeah, look at the fine print on the back of your statement.
Yeah. That kind of thing. It's a really interesting idea because if you think about this, this lends itself to a global money, which is already happening. So Bitcoin is Bitcoin, and you can convert it, say, to U.S. dollars, and there are already exchanges that will do that. You can actually buy them for cash, if you will, buy them on your credit card or debit card, actually. But anyway, that's assuming you're trading U.S. dollars for cryptocurrency, whatever kind that is, Bitcoin being an example.
Draw from many sources and don't rely on a single source and do your research. And you can actually, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can
buy a portion of one.
You can buy down to the pennies worth of Bitcoin value.
Yes.
So if you want to, just for...
Sort of like shares in a way.
Just for giggles, put $100 in on Bitcoin and see what happens.
Right.
Probably better odds than going across the border.
In this year in particular, you would have gotten a heck of a return on your investment.
If you had invested $100 at the beginning
January,
of the year, you'd be up $10,000.
That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty amazing.
All right, so we've about beat the Bitcoin into submission.
Well, it's an interesting topic, and I think it's not well understood, which is why we've spent some time trying to decode that, because we didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And now have a much more clear idea about how it works.
We researched from multiple locations. We asked some questions, and we probably didn't get it all right, but do your own research. It's a fascinating topic, if nothing else, about how tech is changing our world. Speaking of things that have changed our world, what changed our world as far as this radio show goes was the adoption of the Flipboard magazine, which is a great way for us to kind of sort out stories that we want to talk about and comment on. Now, by surprise, this was totally unintentional. A few months back, Brenda got a great deal on a couple of Samsung Galaxy Note 8 smartphones, which are pretty potent little devices.
They're going to last us a while.
Yeah. One thing I've noted is, first of all, the battery lasts a lot longer than our S7's batteries did.
Mm-hmm.
You might go 2-3 days if you're not used doing very much.
I go longer than you. I think it's been 4 to 5 days since I'd charged mine.
Well, I use my phone pretty heavy.
Right.
One nice thing, though, is I have the wireless charging, of course. I can plop this thing on the stand, and it's charged up, ready to go on the wireless stand within a couple of hours. If you plug in the USB-C port or on the bottom of the phone, you're actually good to go in about an hour and a half. That's pretty remarkable.
That's not too bad.
What if you could charge your phone in under 15 minutes?
That would be phenomenal.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
That could be Samsung's Advanced Institute of Technology. Isn't that a great name?
sounds like something out of a movie.
Using graphene. Now, graphene is an interesting form of carbon. that is really showing a lot of promise. It is quite the super material. Graphene is looking good for doing things like purifying seawater, very sensitive detectors. Well, it was scientists created a graphene ball to coat the inside of a lithium-ion cell, and this has the effect of reducing the runaway thermal problems. When you try to charge a phone, a lithium-ion battery too fast, it can go into thermal runaway. That's why you don't see anybody using a Note 7.
Well, it also increased the overall storage capacity of the battery.
Yeah. So, so if your phone charges up in 90 minutes, that number will drop to about 18 minutes. The cell will have roughly the same lifespan, usually about 500 complete up and down cycles. So this looks pretty promising because lithium ion is not just being used on our mobile devices, but increasingly we're looking at using it for electric vehicles as an alternative to lead acid batteries, which, while essentially safer, Your charge to weight ratio is a whole different ballgame. So
right.
Lithium gives you a lot of power in a very small, lightweight space.
Right. And so most rechargeable batteries lose their ability to recharge, or they don't lose their ability to recharge. What they do is they lose their ability to
hold
store
hold
the charge. And Samsung claims that their research is showing in this particular case that after 500 cycles, the battery still has 78% of its charge capacity and charge retention. So, you know, that's pretty remarkable. Think about that. If you charged your phone every single day, 500 days is, over a year, well over a year. It's well into the second year.
Yeah.
And even then, after that second year, it still retains over 70% of its charge retention. That's not too bad. That gives it some longevity. So that's pretty cool. So when is Apple going to do this?
Yeah.
And if Samsung does this before Apple does it, I'm sure Apple engineers are right behind them in this sort of thing.
The race is on.
Yeah. Would that mean that some Apple users would cross over to the Samsung world?
Apple fans
and there's Samsung fans as well, but...
Article in The Verge, interesting. The picture is great. When you and I went to high school or college, of course, these things didn't exist, but a number of students take their laptops with them to class and to take their notes right there on their laptop.
Right.
So you hear clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
Oh, yeah, there's that, right?
Evidence is increasing that using a laptop during the lectures actually decreases your ability to retain the information because you're too busy focusing on the typing.
Yep. I've often wondered about that. Seriously, because, you know, if you make a mistake and you go back, you're going to miss some key little phrase or something like that. Isn't it better to take notes on paper, which I do in meetings? I don't like taking electronic notes.
Researchers hypothesized the students who wrote notes by hand had to process the information and, in effect, summarize what was being said in order to keep up. Laptop note takers had a tendency to transcribe lectures verbatim, in other words, from the ear to the fingers without ever going through the brainstem.
Yeah, no digestion.
So you're not converting that information, and this makes sense.
Yep, it does.
Because you're multitasking.
In this day and age, in my opinion, and they did some of this when I was in college many moons ago, record the lecture, and then you can go view it. So you record the lecture, view it as many times as you like, take notes from that. And this was a way for... say maybe visually impaired students to work with this or that sort of thing, but it would allow you to review the material more than once.
Yeah. A study from United States Military Academy discovered that students who did not have access to a device performed significantly better than those who did because they weren't looking up their Instagram when they were supposed to be listening to
that.
The lecture.
I have taught in courses where it's pretty obvious that the person, a student, was on social media almost the entire class.
Yeah.
And golly, gee whiz.
They tended to flop magnificently on the exam.
Yeah, they didn't pass the class. Imagine that.
It's been long proven that handwriting improves your motor skills, memory, and creativity. So put the device down and pick the notepad up.
And learn cursive.
Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. More tech news you can use coming up after the bottom of the hour break.
You can scribble better with cursive.
Takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Cascade Christmas is coming soon. An all-new show for the whole family. Don't miss this holiday spectacular. Free pictures with Santa after all 2 p.m. shows, so bring your camera. Tickets on sale now at cascadetheater.org or call 243-8877.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Rejecting God's moral values leads to moral decay and lawlessness. The cause of this moral decay is the rejection of God, whose ways are absolute and unchangeable. This will eventually affect the ability to recognize the slow decay of one's morals while it decays, pollutes, and corrupts the mind and flesh, especially of our children. By giving your life to Jesus and living according to God's word, you will be protected against this moral decay. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at TrueLifeReading.com. We hope to see you there. And remember, it's worth the ride.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
Season's greetings from the Redding Civic Auditorium. This is Nathan Parmalee, talent buyer for the Civic. We wish all our veterans and active duty servicemen and women a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Everyone at the Redding Civic Auditorium is grateful for your service to our country and extend our hopes for a peaceful and prosperous new year for you and your families. Stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you soon at the Civic.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Every week, goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news that we certainly hope you can use on Boomer Tech Radio. So, we were talking in the last segment about taking a laptop to the meeting.
You actually don't pick up
as much stuff.
Yeah, meeting or the classroom, you're not necessarily going to process as much information because you're too busy focusing on the typing and just pass through your ear. So it's sort of like taking dictation is be treated that way without actually digesting what it is that you're recording.
So what if you have something like a Note 8 or a iPad Pro and you are taking the notes with a stylus, you're still writing the stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got decent enough handwriting, the handwriting recognition will convert that into text. Now, in that case, you are processing the information.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to do that with a laptop screen. Might be a little more doable with a tablet screen, but it depends on the responsiveness of the stylus.
Yeah, because I don't think you can draw like that on a laptop screen and have it recorded.
Yeah.
Tablets are much better at that. There's an app for that.
Mm-hmm. So companies have been trying to push out tablets as a way to replace your bulky laptop. You know, that 5-pound laptop is so 1980s, you know, so 2000s. Now, I've got, of course, my iPad Pro from last year that has some pretty good capabilities, but it is sitting next to the iPad Pro. Frequently, I have a laptop because there are some things that are simply easier to accomplish on the laptop. The iPad and the other tablets of a similar make are very good for visual tasks where you're flipping quickly through information, but to input information or do detail work, the tablet or at least a convertible work better.
The laptop, you mean?
Yeah, the laptop.
Works better.
Yeah, the laptop works better for those intensive tasks. Has that been your experience?
Yes, definitely. However, the capabilities of tablets are expanding.
Mm-hmm. If you want to decide whether to, say, go with a full-on laptop, which is probably the least expensive choice, depending on the laptop you get, or a full-on tablet, or something like a yoga or a convertible-type device, or the Surface, which is a convertible. It can be a laptop 1 minute and a tablet the next. Before you decide which way you're going to go, you want to, and this is what we tell people all the time, right, Brenda?
Yep.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah, what tasks do you want this device to accomplish?
Where do you want to go today?
Yeah, Remember that kind of thing. Yeah, that's right.
Jot down the jobs you use your tablet for, the applications you find yourself using over and over again. Research the tablet equivalents of those apps to get a better idea of whether you can make the switch. You know, if you can't function without a proper mouse and keyboard, then stick with the laptop or desktop. Although you can connect your tablet to a mouse via a Bluetooth connection, it's not really meant for this type of main control. Now, I do have a keyboard that will attach to my tablet that has a mouse pad on it, which actually works pretty good with an Android device. It does not work. It doesn't play well with my iPad. But I can hang a keyboard on the iPad. In fact, my iPad right now is perched on my Logitech keyboard so that I can do text entry very quickly. Plus, it holds the pad up at a proper angle for reading.
Right. So that's one of the big things in the evaluation that you want to do as to what it's going to do. If you're doing things like editing photos or doing a lot of writing, a tablet may not be your best choice. But if you are doing a lot of things via a web browser or in the cloud, then a tablet is much more capable,
right,
and likely to be a better choice.
Now, we have seen some very clumsy attempts to make a smartphone behave like a tablet or even as a desktop. So far, the only one that has really come close is the Samsung Galaxy S8 and also the Note 8 with the Samsung DeX, D-E-X, desktop adapter. And what the DeX is basically a charging stand with a USB-C port on it, an HDMI plug, and a couple of USB ports. So it lets you plug your S8 or Note 8 into this thing and gives you a desktop experience for about $150.
Which might work.
Yeah. I see if I see that concept catching on. If you've got a pretty potent phone, and I think ours are 128 gigs of memory, plus you've got an SD card slot, a micro SD card slot. So you've essentially got a floppy drive on your, to use the archaic term, you've got external storage on your phone, or you can cloud the stuff, and then you've got a full-size keyboard. For somebody who's on the road a lot, this may be a solution. Now, another way to do this, of course, is if you use a lot of Google Docs or Office 365, you start something on your mobile device and finish it on your fixed station device.
Yep, that allows you some flexibility. So how do you choose which device to get? That is also dependent on what you're going to do with it.
Okay, so if you're an Apple head, it's hands down, you're going for an iPad. The iPad Pro starts at about $650. A basic iPad, about $329. Most people don't need the iPad Pro unless they're doing some pretty heavy stuff. I opted for the Pro because of its video capabilities, processing power.
Bigger screen.
Bigger screen, because at my age, bigger is better on the screen size. But there are some very good tablets out there. Now, the Tab S3 is very popular. It's priced almost $500. But for a little bit less, Brenda has her Tab A, and she's real happy with her Tab A,
yep,
which was about the same price as the Tab E from Samsung, roughly the same screen real estate, and actually a quad-core processor instead of a dual-core.
Right, so a little more value bang for your buck in the Tab A in this particular case. So,
and you've discovered this more things that your Tab A can do over time.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and it's you got to get in here and mess around with these things for sure. Now, I don't do a lot of, say, cloud documents or anything like that, and I've chosen on this one to just go with using the keyboard on the screen, because in emails and things, it'll do predictive words for you. So like your smartphone, you can just, you know, touch that word or whatever, rather than the keyboard. If you're using the keyboard, it expects you to do all the work. I'm getting lazy. I'm getting attached to this touchscreen stuff. So again, you have to be pretty clear about what it is that you want to do with this tablet. Definitely shop and do, you know, read reviews or ask for a demo. If you're not familiar with how this works, you might find yourself really using something, some feature on a tablet that you weren't really thinking about because you didn't know it could do that.
Yep. But if you want to just browse the web, read emails, do some very light word processing, hard to go wrong with an Amazon Fire.
Yeah, and they're incredibly cheap.
The HD 10 Amazon.
Not real big, but
well, the 10-inch Amazon Fire is $100.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
It's a pretty powerful device. Now,
yeah.
Again, you are locked into the Amazon ecosystem, which means from the Amazon store, you can't get all the stuff that you can get from Google Play. In fact, Google Docs will not work on a Fire tablet.
Yeah, they're a little proprietary about that.
But there are alternatives. There's Handcom Office. I don't know if 365 is going to port to Amazon because they don't play nice together.
Well, another way to look at this is the apps that are in the on the tablet. some of those you can move data from one to mm-hmm. the other. So think about Microsoft. Almost everybody's familiar with Microsoft Office. So you have Word, you have Excel, you have PowerPoint, you have Access, Excel being a spreadsheet and Access being a database manager. But you can move data, documents, material, bits between all of those programs, and they're all compatible.
Yep.
And so that's not quite as widespread in the tablet world yet because you can't take an Apple operating system item really and put it into an Android operating system item. There, some things are that way, but and they're making some changes. But even within Android in particular, not all these apps are going to be compatible with each other. But I have a feeling that's going to change very quickly.
Or if you have a Gmail account, you simply use Google Drive.
Right.
And that is very cross-platform
right.
compatible. And you can share those Google Docs with anybody else who happens to have a Gmail address. And
right.
That's real handy.
Some companies and definitely the government do not necessarily authorize that because there is a certain amount of, a great amount of potential for malware to come along with things, be installed in a document that's shared and that sort of thing. But as this becomes more and more the way of doing business, I think that there's going to be more and more efforts made to secure that better, and it's not that you wouldn't have a Google Docs account that is fairly secure. You can make that happen. Businesses do that, so don't let that be a deterrent if you're thinking about going in that direction. So these are all things to think about, and there's unfortunately our digital devices have become so sophisticated that they're, it's not simple. Choosing one, it's as bad as a car. Which car do you pick? What do you want it to do?
Well, again, are you going to haul hay
are you just going to want a little thing that'll fit in any parking spot you can find? Doesn't use a lot of fuel. So that's why there's so many different designs of things, including mm-hmm. electronic devices.
So you mentioned security, and we were talking about laptops. Remember the story we did some months ago? Actually, I think it's been almost a year since Lenovo got their fingers wrapped with a ruler for installing spyware on products, which is one of the reasons that Lenovo computers, Lenovo, of course, now a Chinese company that bought the IBM ThinkPad proprietary stuff, government agencies are not allowed to use Lenovo computers.
Right, and I don't know who they paid this to, but Lenovo paid a $3.5 million fine for that little debacle.
I think that was in the EU. Or it might have been to the consumer products.
All US I know consumer. Is I didn't see a penny of that $3.5
yeah, exactly.
million, dollars, but nevertheless, the company had to ante up for their indiscretion, not that they wouldn't make it back off of the consumer fairly quickly, but that was enough to at least cause a pinprick and a little discomfort in the company.
Well, now, kids, Hewlett-Packard, HP, has been doing a little bit of sneaky installation on their own. Computer World has gathered several reports saying that the HP computers are deploying a telemetry client on customer computers without asking permission. The software is called HP TouchPoint Analytics Service. Unless they give these things innocuous names.
Yes.
It's a service.
Yeah, well, somewhat ambiguous names.
According to the official description, it features the tools you need to ensure all your managed devices' security and bring you greater peace of mind. Trouble is, this thing sticks itself on your computer without any action on your part, and it slows the computer down. One complaint on the HP support site says the computer's working so hard I can hear it clanking away, and the light in the back of my computer is flashing rapidly in time to the clanking. Task manager shows that the app is starting and stopping other applications. So customers with HP are not very happy.
Not amused.
They are not amused. It can be removed relatively easy. There's an article in, you'll be able to link to it
on
Engadget about how to get this thing off of your HP device. That's not the point. Why are they sticking this stuff?
Why was it in there in the first place?
Yeah, why are they sticking this stuff on your computer to track, basically, snoop on you? Because your information has value. Not to be outdone. No less an organization than the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay, how's this working out? Golden State Warriors have a smartphone app. Now, my guess is that there isn't anybody in the Warriors organization who is quite savvy enough to make this happen. This is probably the contractor figuring out how to squeeze some extra money out of the app. The whole idea was that the Warriors app, the Golden State Warriors app, would turn on the microphone in your device to pick up certain signals in the stadium to make the phone respond, presumably for the purpose of doing promotional materials. Used audio beacons, unique sounds played at Oracle Arena and fan stores to recognize where users were, allowing the app to send advertisements and notifications to the user. However, it was discovered that the app kept recording even when users were not in public spaces.
Uh-huh.
According to a lawsuit that was picked up and reported by the Daily Beast, the Warriors gained access to tens of thousands of microphones belonging to fans and consumers who downloaded the app, which has been, by the way, downloaded, 400,000 times.
Oh, my goodness.
So the Warriors provided this statement. While we would not normally comment on pending litigation, the allegations in the lawsuit are purely fanciful and wholly without merit. Our app has never been used to listen to any conversations, period. U.S. District Court is disagreeing, saying that this may very well violate federal wiretap laws.
Unintended consequences.
Yes. I don't think that they set out to listen in on their customers. Oh, by the way, the story's way deep in the pile here, but I did want to mention that famous case in Minnesota with the Alexa DA was demanding that Amazon turn over the audio records and
for potential evidence.
Yeah, and Amazon is going, there are no audio records. If you open up their smartphone, you will see the list of commands, but any conversations that were not germane to a search aren't stored.
Right.
So
big failure on assumption there that there's no smoking gun there.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Nothing to see here, folks. Let's see. Oh, a couple of Google stories.
Oh, yeah. I love this one.
Okay. If you have been distressed by, and I can't imagine where in the great scheme of things this really goes this much consternation. If you were distressed by the appearance of the burger emoji
in
Google.
So we got to back up a little bit. Emojis are not just face expressions anymore.
Right.
They can be thumbs up, thumbs down, you know.
Christmas tree, barking dog.
AOK circle, you know, that kind of thing.
Some people just chat
cats,
in emoji.
Cats, dogs. Houses, buildings, planes. So it's for just about any activity, including food.
Little cutesy pictures.
Yeah, cutesy pictures, including food. Well, apparently some hardcore enthusiasts, perhaps these people
have nothing better to do.
Have fast food, food construction experience. All right, so they've been in the fast food industry and actually had to put a hamburger together.
Right.
Noticed that the Google burger emoji just
was wrong.
The
old emoji had bun, lettuce.
From top down.
Yeah, from top down. Bun, lettuce, tomato, burger patty, cheese, bun.
Right.
Well, anybody who has ever run a barbecue knows that the cheese goes
on
top
of
the
burger.
Patty.
Yes.
So that as it melts into the patty and doesn't soak into the bread.
Doesn't stick to the bread.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the new burger emoji, thank you very much to all the legion of people who had nothing better to complain about than the fact that the burger emoji was wrong.
Google fixed it.
Google has made the fix, and it is now bun, lettuce, tomato, cheese,
burger,
patty,
and
bun.
I just find that just such a delightful story because it's moved
the cheese.
They moved the cheese.
Oh, they moved my cheese.
Well, you know, geeks can be pretty detail-oriented, right? So, I mean, this could really...
Say it, they're anal regenerative.
Right. Yeah. So that would just be untenable to some folks. It's just not right.
All righty.
Wonder how long it took them to notice it.
So Thursday's Google Doodle celebrated one of Brenda's favorite people. None other than Mr. Christian Doppler and the Doppler effect.
Oh, yeah, very fascinating.
Now, why would Brenda have the slightest interest in the Doppler effect other than when you're sitting at the train crossing, you get that really neat sound, or when a plane flies over? Well, in the business, in the industry, in the science field in which Brenda operates, Mr. Doppler's work carries a great deal of significance because...
In a weather radar, whether a particle of moisture is coming toward you or away from you has some very distinct ramifications. It actually doesn't have to be a particle of moisture, although they're highly reflective, so that's a good deal. In weather radar, Doppler effect is used to determine whether you have a spinning vortex or not, which, of course, the most dramatic of that is a tornado. So it's and truth be told, the weather radar that's used in this country does not use a true Doppler effect. It's actually a pseudo Doppler, mm-hmm. but the difference is technical. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty esoteric, and you know, you don't want to go there, particularly. But it takes advantage of the Doppler effect principles to decide whether things are coming towards the radar or going away from the radar, and that can be very important.
What I found interesting is that, as you explained to me, the basic technology dates to the 1980s. We haven't made any...
Correct.
We have changed the way that the data from the system is processed much faster, better.
Yep,
but
that's been upgraded. Yeah. But the actual hardware itself has not been upgraded since the late 80s.
Given the changes that have happened... Now, we're hearing stories about 3D weather radar and things like that, where multiple sites are... Because you can build these things a lot cheaper than you used to be able to build them.
Mm-hmm.
You would have smaller, lighter radar systems scanning a storm from multiple angles and developing a 3D model.
Right, and then there's a processor that takes all that data and builds a 3D model.
I bet you'd love to see those pictures.
Oh, that'd be fun, yeah. We're not too far from that in an operational capacity. They're actually, for several decades, University of Wisconsin-Madison has been working on a system to do exactly that, to take weather maps and develop some sort of 3D visual
display
system,
phenomenon.
And it's very much a 3D thing. And I think that there's relationships that we don't quite understand. If you can look at them graphically, you can look at them visually, then you might notice other patterns that become relevant. It's hard to look at them 2D flat and layer by layer. So imagine taking a layered cake apart, and you only get to see one layer at a time. You don't... before, you didn't really have a way to see the whole cake at once, to reassemble it.
Quick example here, and I'll probably get letters over this one, mean letters over. When you look up at the sky, you're not looking at a flat image.
Nope.
So when you see a line in the sky, it is not a flat thing. It is a three-dimensional thing passing through different layers.
Yep.
And we'll just leave it at that, because if I mention the sea trails word, I'll get myself in all kinds of get myself in trouble. Hey, one final thing. Another reason that you're going to want to look at getting yourself a Fire tablet is, of course, the Silk browser. It's not a bad little web browser, and it is coming to Fire TV, so you can do basic web surfing via your Fire TV.
It's decent. It's serviceable.
Fire TV, you can actually pick one up for about $30. We're going to talk about that in our next hour on Boomer Tech Radio with some tech gift ideas for the upcoming holiday.
Absolutely.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other. More Boomer Tech after the news.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump says the Senate tax bill will do good things for business.
Business tax all the way down from 35 to 20. It could be 22 when it comes out, could also be 20. We're going to see what ultimately comes out.
President's commenting if the Republicans passed the tax plan early this morning by a vote of 51 to 49. Tennessee Republican Senator Bob Corker defecting with Democrats to vote no. The president hits the hustings today in New York City.
President Donald Trump has three fundraising events here, including one at Cipriani on 42nd Street, another at the Pierre Hotel by Central Park, and then he speaks to a smaller group of RNC donors. Tickets range from $1,000 to $50,000. The money goes to Trump Victory, a joint fundraising committee formed by Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee. Security is very tight, and police are expecting protests. Julie Walker, New York.
A case that the Supreme Court is taking up could make wagering on sports widely available nationwide. The High Court is weighing whether a federal law that prevents states from authorizing sports betting is constitutional or not. If the Supreme Court strikes down that law, giving sports betting the go-ahead, dozens of states could quickly make sports betting legal. If you smoked pot and want to go to war, it's not a big deal anymore. As more states eliminate penalties for marijuana use, the U.S. Army granting hundreds of waivers to enlist people who consumed in their youth, as long as they realize they can't do so again once they're in the military. Speaking of pot, marijuana is now legal in the medical dispensaries in Maryland. Folks were lining up Friday to make the purchases after years of legal entanglements. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Pain relief is here, and it's natural. You don't need all the negative side effects of ibuprofen when you have Relief Factor. Relief Factor is made from high-quality fish oil and essential nutrients, gives your body the help it needs to fight recurring aches and pains. When life's aches and pains get you down, you need Relief Factor. How do I know? Because I know. Because I've tried it. I've taken it. I'm thrilled with the results from Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com. I take a packet in the morning, a packet in the evening. My lower back pain, gone. This stuff really works. And in fact, 80% of people who try the 3-week quick start, which is the introductory offer, buy it again. 80%. So what do you have to lose except $20? Give it a shot. The 1995 3-week quick start is waiting for you at ReliefFactor.com. If you don't think it's for you afterwards, just let them know and you're only out $20. But think of what life could be like without any pain. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
Britain's cybersecurity agency warning government departments not to use antivirus software from Moscow-based firm Kaspersky Labs due to snooping concerns.
Kieran Martin, head of the National Cybersecurity Center, said Russia is acting against the UK's national interest in cyberspace. He advised that a Russia-based provider should never be used for systems that deal with issues related to national security. Professor of Cybersecurity Alan Woodward clarifies that the agency is not advising the public at large against using Kaspersky's popular antivirus product.
They're not even saying every government department stop using it. They're saying where you've got these most sensitive information, really, that... And you've got to look at what the definition of those documents is. I mean, it's going to cause grave or exceptionally grave damage to the UK if it gets out. So what they're saying is that small element of machines that are holding those information don't have it on there.
Kaspersky has denied wrongdoing and says it doesn't assist Russian cyber espionage efforts. Karen Chamas, London.
More at townhall.com. More auto dealers were in the black last month thanks to Black Friday.
The market analysis firm AutoData Corp says U.S. sales of new cars and trucks rose 1% to nearly 1.4 million units. Day after Thanksgiving deals and strong consumer confidence made up for waning demand for post-hurricane replacement vehicles. Some analysts initially predicted that November sales would drop as post-hurricane sales slowed in Texas and Florida. Bob Agnew reporting.
Federal regulators are moving to give the U.S. Postal Service more freedom to raise stamp costs beyond the rate of inflation. Postal Regulatory Commission's proposal would allow the beleaguered Postal Service to increase the price of a first-class stamp by an additional 2% above the rate of inflation to avoid bankruptcy and to improve mail and package delivery. Check out more news, read more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
And hello once again, Boomer Tech Radio, the name of the show. I'm Bob.
And I'm Brenda.
Tech news you can use, hey, goodies, gadgets, gizmos. Oh, hour two, and we're going to do some Christmas gift ideas, because we're allowed to say Christmas on this show because it's my bloody show. It's our bloody show. If we want to say Christmas, we'll say Christmas.
Whatever you say, dear.
Hey,
not that I disagree with that. That isn't what I was just poking fun at.
A trend in gaming, a disturbing trend that finally went completely out of control. The Star Wars Battlefront 2 game from Electronic Arts, of course. Electronic Arts is one of the biggest in the business. And there's been this increasing trend, kind of like these guys took a cue from smartphones, in that you buy a game, or maybe they'll give you the game. But if you want to really succeed in the game, you have to do in-app purchases.
Right. You have to buy something. No.
Candy Crush or whatever. I mean, right. You can go broke on Candy Crush.
Well, video games, you have in the past bought the game, the software for the game, sort of like buying a DVD or something like that. Then you have it. But this takes it even further.
Yeah.
You're going to have a very different experience, or you're going to have my tablet. This new tablet has got me all messed up because
you
it's
screen time out on it.
No, it's in Flipboard. I haven't quite exactly got it figured out how you tap things to keep from having it go to out of the story. That's very annoying. But anyway, to do another level or to have a richer experience or whatever, now you're having to make
certain
purchases.
Now,
well, after you've already spent umpteen bucks on the game itself.
$60 for a copy of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Ooh, that is a bit of an
investment.
And in order
to do really well, and I bought a couple of years ago Skyrim, and I still haven't milked that game out yet, but I'm a lousy player, so it takes me a long time. But for hardcore gamers, you know, shelling out $60 for a game, but again, borrowing on the smartphone model of in-app purchases in order to obtain
lots of money for the Electronic Arts, basically.
And in some cases,
but
you
for
would,
the for the viewer or user, it's a different experience, of course.
Where this ran, first of all, it was annoying, the daylights, but then came this thing about you would spend maybe $20 in actual money, or maybe something as low as $5. That adds up over time, to get a mystery chest, a loot crate.
Or to unlock certain characters. Or, key characters like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You had to pay for that.
But the loot crate thing, the European Union decided, and the U.S. is deciding, that this constitutes a form of gambling because you have a prize of value. The prize depends on chance, and you have to pay a consideration to get the chance to win the prize.
Yep.
That is a lottery, and that is verboten. That is gambling.
Yep. So
by the way, that's for the emergency alert system notification going on in the background.
It goes off at random times. You don't need no way to control that, so we have to put
just
up with
it.
It's dulcet tones, if you will. It's musical clacking. With that in mind, and the fact that even beyond that, fans got really mad because they were forced to pay even more into the game. So Electronic Arts finally gave in to unpopular opinion.
After losing $3 billion with a B, dollars worth of value.
Right. The investors, of course, thought this was probably a good idea. Oh, good. We'll charge the users and you're going to make a pile of money. Sure, I'll invest in that. Well, once this dropped off. So I'm sure that $3 billion was kind of a projected loss of what they aren't making because they're not charging these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So,
meanwhile, Take-Two and Activision Blizzard, which are competing game companies, saw increases. But, EA is going to be a while recovering from this one because gamers are a fickle lot and they're extremely loyal to a particular brand. This is going to cost Electronic Arts quite a pile of money.
Well, there's been a pushback against in-game monetization anyway because there's concern on the part of some that having in-game in-app purchases, microtransactions or whatever, is really just introducing kids to gambling.
Exactly.
Is that something you really want to do? I don't know.
Let's see here. Here's a story that was on the BBC, and I don't buy off on this one. We heard this on the news this morning, and at the time, I think I heard you yell the BS from the other end of the house. The headline, robot automation will take 800 million jobs by 2030.
That really annoys me. Maybe existing jobs, that is possible, but the thing about it is
by 2030 there will be jobs we haven't even thought
of. Exactly. What's going to replace it? So what those jobs, today's jobs may disappear, but what's new coming? And it will, because we have been through at least 2 major industrial revolutions as a society, not just America, but global industrial revolutions, and golly gee whiz, we aren't all standing on the curb looking for a job.
Right. There are jobs now that didn't exist a few years ago.
Absolutely.
Website optimization. There are people who are making good money repairing smartphones or recommending smartphones or writing apps. Writing apps for smartphones didn't exist 10 years ago.
Building robots.
Exactly.
The very said robots that are supposed to be taking over the jobs, people have a job building them.
So I'm calling baloney on this story. Also, in the same newscast...
Well, it's not necessarily baloney. It might be true, but it's putting the wrong spin on it.
Yeah.
It's like only telling half the story. That's the part I find annoying.
Interestingly enough, in that same BBC newscast was a bit about an umbrella factory and the fact that the umbrellas are still built by hand because even the best automation techniques can't handle fabric. And I found that to be very fascinating.
Hmm.
So you have a person cutting out the, if you look at how an umbrella is made, a person has to cut out the triangles, and then you have very fine stitching to hold the umbrella together onto the ribs. So, and they haven't figured out how to do that with a robot yet.
Well, they might, but it's kind of interesting.
DJI. Now, the American military, DJI is a manufacturer of drones. In fact, I have drooled over some DJI drones, thinking that I would really like to have one to do with my video work, but I haven't been able to justify the cost of one. A U.S. government memo is claiming that drone manufacturer DJI is supplying the Chinese government with video information used for espionage and commercial purposes. In other words, as the thing is flying around taking pictures, it knows exactly where it is. And is it sending that information along with, oh, look, there's a fence with a U.S. government sign on it at the far edge from this location, or there's an aircraft hangar over there. Are these drones transmitting that on-the-ground strategic information, tactical information, back to the Chinese military?
Yep. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. The Chinese government is using... And things like, where's the dam? Where's, you know, is there,
right.
What times is the guard out in front of the dam?
Potential,
things like that.
Right, and potential attacks, enough information for potential attacks on major infrastructure, such as railroads, utilities, you know, all kinds of stuff, law enforcement, whatever,
yeah.
Power generation.
So, interesting. Hey, you like Tetris, don't you?
I play it occasionally. Sometimes I get a little frustrated with it, but it depends on whether I want a mindless game or one that kind of challenges me and I want a little mental exercise.
Well, in an effort to make Facebook Messenger even more convoluted and bloated, Facebook is trying to bring Tetris as a competition into Facebook Messenger. And by the way, folks, I use Messenger for messaging. Don't send me your crap on Messenger, please.
And don't use it as a platform.
As a platform to spew your stuff, because at best you'll get ignored. Hey, this is a robotic, you know, pipes. As we discovered this week, pipes underground can spring leaks.
Oh, yeah.
It is very difficult to figure out just where the leak is in the pipe. Now, in our case, it was underneath a slab, and we could hear an odd bubbling noise, which is never a good thing when it's in close proximity to a septic tank. So there was an expensive...
Well, thank goodness
yeah,
it was
the tank was going to blow.
Yeah, exactly. Thank goodness it was the water pipe and not the septic tank that had the problems. Because the water pipe was a whole lot cheaper than dealing with a septic tank failure.
Still interesting technology that was used because it's a plastic pipe. How do you find a plastic pipe that is buried in dirt?
Some good old basic science.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So we had a... He used a couple of devices. One of them was kind of like a microphone device, I guess, right? That zeroed in on the location.
Well, think about if you've ever used a stud finder for walls.
Yeah.
It's kind of – it doesn't work the same way because that's a density type of thing.
Right.
But it has that same kind of – you move it around until you find the best signal kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is run an electrical signal through – a wire tape that they put in the pipeline, and then they use the detector to follow that because the signal that the tape gives off is very distinct and very strong. Mm-hmm. And they can detect things even as deep as like 14 feet underground.
Interesting.
It was pretty interesting to see, but it's using both analog and digital technology to solve the problem. And it was pretty interesting. And once the device was calibrated as to depth and that sort of thing, he was able to follow the tape through the pipe, the metal snake through the pipe, and find it in a location. We were installing an additional cutoff valve. And so he said, well, it should be right here. X marks the spot, and it should be about 10 inches down. And that's about right.
Yeah.
It was a little further than 10 inches, but it was, I mean, it was like a foot. If you're within 2 inches, that's not so bad.
So a lot of municipalities who have not been updating their infrastructure, their water pipes in the ground are very, very old, starting to leak. And in a state where water is a big concern.
Which is most areas, actually.
Yeah. the fact that the water is leaking away. In fact, some towns are reporting that they're losing millions of gallons of water a year just gone. They pump so much in and only so much comes back out.
And the thing about that is municipalities often pay for that water.
Yeah.
So when they lose it in their systems, they are not able to have the citizenry. They can't recoup the cost for that from the citizenry because they're losing the water before it ever gets to anybody's water meter.
Yeah, so they have to raise the rates.
Right. To pay for all of that. So it behooves a municipality to find those leaks. Not only that, the leaks themselves can cause infrastructure damage.
As witness to here in our town, a big sinkhole that developed because a pipe was leaking.
Exactly. And then you got a really big problem.
Researchers have come up with a robotic fish that can dive through underground pipes to find leaks and breaks. A team from USC's Information Services Institute revealed that the robotic fish, which actually looks kind of like a pipe with a clear plastic middle.
Yeah.
The device can self-propel back and forth through the pipe, and its high-resolution video camera will take real-time video of the state of the water system. Other sensors provide information on pipe quality and the robot's position.
Yep.
It has an onboard computer with light sensors and a 360 camera.
I imagine it maybe uses some acoustical capabilities as well, because that's one of the things when we had the water pipe problem, or anyone who's ever had a water pipe problem in their yard knows, is that one of the things a plumber can do is listen for the leak underground. Right. It's pretty interesting how that works.
So instead of in the case they make in the article here, is that instead of, and this is on ZDNet, instead of digging up, say, a 10-block chunk of pipe looking for the failure,
right,
they know what's in a particular block.
So, yeah, exactly. They
can
almost
narrow it down
to
a couple of feet.
Yeah, so they only have to dig that hole. These streets are always being dug up.
Plan is to eventually send the pipe fish through every major water pipe in L.A. to identify risk, help officials prioritize which ones get looked at first.
I'm reminded of an analog version of a similar concept in the Alaska pipeline, and I don't know how that's evolved over time, but there what they call a pig, and I don't know what pig stands for. I think it's reference to something or another, that they put through the oil pipeline to scrape the paraffin off the insides of the pipeline. So
it
gets artery disease. It builds up plaque in the pipeline. And so in order to keep the pipeline clear, it actually it spins.
Oh.
So they take it and they drop it in the pipeline in Prudhoe, and it works its way down the pipeline with the flow of the oil. And as it goes through, at one time when they first started doing this, as it goes through the pipeline and flows along in the oil, it spins and it scrapes the sides of the pipeline, and it cleans the arteries out, basically.
Yeah.
And pretty much. Yeah, it kind of roto-rooters them out, and they can have it, pick it up at different points along the pipeline if they want to, but theoretically it can go all the way from Prudhoe down to Valdez, the whole length of the pipeline scraping away. But that was an analog device. Now I imagine they use some of this digital technology to find leaks and cracks and weak points and where big problems are and things like that. It would not surprise me.
The other day, and I'm trying to remember where we were, that we were laughing because a computer glitch made what should have been a very easy process into just this ordeal. Do you remember what? Because we were laughing about, weren't the computers supposed to make this a whole lot easier? You and I were together, and
I don't remember where we were.
But we were the people at the store or whatever it was were not amused because we were sort of making fun of them because their computer system was doing something weird. It was some routine transaction it was at a hardware store.
Oh, that's right.
A big box hardware store self-scanning checkout. And here's what had happened. I won't name the store, but somebody had left something on the computer screen. And
that's right.
We came along and we did our transactions.
And got charged for something that we don't. didn't buy.
And so apparently, even though the thing will figure out that you haven't put this item on the scale, or that you know you paid for something but you didn't put it in the bag, or you put something in the bag and you didn't pay for it, is what you're worried about.
Right.
This thing wasn't in the bag, but it was on the screen. It was like $14.
That was more than that.
Yeah.
But whatever. It was a case of
but
I would have
couldn't fix it.
Yeah, it got to be kind of interesting. You actually had to go to a more old-style exchange return type thing. They could not pull it off of the machine then and there, which I found really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had to pay for it and they get reimbursed for it, yeah. Which was really interesting. Talk about digital money, digital ways. But you would think that those checkout stands, if after a certain amount of time went by and an object was not paid for, that it would at least lock the transaction up or zero out the transaction and just go be ready for the next one.
Computers.
It was really interesting.
Computers make everything easier,
That's right. Yeah. And we were rather amused by that because it was like this. What we have here is a failure of the system.
And so is the case with American Airlines.
Oh, yes.
A computer glitch. Now, computers do not make mistakes. Let's be clear on this. Very rarely does the computer make the mistake.
The computer didn't generate this problem.
The person who programmed it,
yes,
or the person who entered
operating data
made the mistake.
Yes.
In this case, the computer that assigned vacation time to pilots was a little too good at it.
Generous. It was very generous.
American Airlines, as of today, and when we record this show, was frantically trying to get pilots to come back, fly our airplane. Now, so far, they say that nobody has been left sitting at the gate for want
yet,
of a pilot.
Yet. Because the pilot's time off is coming up closer to the Christmas holiday travel season.
So
it would be interesting to see what kind of incentives.
Imagine there will be some questions asked of HR.
Yes, and I wonder if some people aren't being shown the door to say, you know, what were you thinking?
One thing before we take the bottom of the hour break. A brand new blue screen of death scam is coming up out of the fake tech support swamp. The scam pops up on your screen with a very large window that makes it look as though your computer has locked up.
Uh-huh.
And it hijacks basically your keyboard so it will not respond to any input. So it looks like your computer has crashed and it gives you a message.
buy this security now.
Yeah, buy the bogus troubleshooter for Windows application is designed to dupe you into paying $25 for a security software you don't need and will much make things worse.
Yeah, well, not only that isn't how that works. You know, Microsoft does not solicit, purchase that way. That's just, no. Microsoft does not know who you are. They, hate to tell you, but they don't care in some respects.
Rather than the application displays the following message: Windows has encountered an unexpected error, claims the computer is missing registry files resulting in computer failure, urges you to click next to diagnose and troubleshoot the problem. Clicking next presents a screen with a list of contrived problems and a claim that the troubleshooter couldn't solve the problem, but you can fix it all by spending $25.
Uh-huh. Red flag right there.
So
please be careful with that.
Please be careful. If you see the first thing you do when one of these things pops up on your computer,
shut your machine off.
Press and hold the power button.
Yep.
You're not going to kill your computer.
Nope.
What actually is going to happen when you and I don't recommend this day to day.
No,
when you're
it's a little hard on it.
Yeah, when you're presented with this screen, or something weird on a website that just won't turn loose of you, press and hold the power button until the computer force quits.
Right.
What's going to happen? Windows will say the next time you boot up, okay, something went terribly wrong. I'm going to go back to the last set of settings that worked.
Right.
And it will load from there. And so hopefully if the malware has not written itself onto your hard drive and corrupted your boot up sequence, you should be just fine. So do that first. Do not click the link.
Don't click. If you're not sure, do it anyway. I mean, do the hard reboot anyway. So you hold that button down until it shuts down. Yeah, and it may be some seconds before it does that, but it will do it. So if you have any doubts at all, but like Bob says, don't do that on a regular basis. It's a little hard on the hardware for one thing.
Beeping computer notes is a simple way to trick the program. You can actually hack the hack. If you go to their PayPal purchase screen, you can type Control O, enter an address, hightechinnovation.com/thankyou.text makes the program think you paid, and then it turns itself off. That according to ZDNet.
Well,
so you can
fix,
hack the hacker.
Yeah, but they'll unhack that hack.
Yeah.
Pretty
That's
quick.
It's probably already been fixed.
I'm sure.
Always be careful. Always be safe. Boomer Tech Radio. We're going to be back with a last segment on some suggestions for last-minute tech Christmas shopping.
Or maybe it's your main shopping.
There we go.
It's not last minute.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
A movie, a party, an experience. This December 17th at the Cascade Theater, starting at 6 p.m., music with Linda Bott and her Jingle Elves, with Cleveland Bonet, Bruce Kahlen, and Joe Larson, playing your favorite Christmas songs in the lobby before the classic movie begins. Miracle on 34th Street. The night begins with good old-fashioned fun, themed drinks for all ages, and an ugly sweater contest, and more. You may even win a beautiful piece of jewelry donated by Devon's Jewelers. There will be a visit from Santa, plus other surprises. Come join us at the Cascade Theater for a classic and fun Christmas event. On the Cascade's big screen, it's Miracle on 34th Street.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
Music, dancing, and more, December 17th at the Cascade Theater, beginning at 6 p.m.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
On behalf of the students, faculty, and staff of Simpson University, we want to wish all of our service men and women, whether deployed overseas or at home, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We are truly blessed to live in a country where freedom was defended in the past, now, and in the future by extraordinary men and women who wear the uniform of the United States of America. Merry Christmas, and God bless each and every one of you.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, December 7th in Elements Lounge from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me with a special Christmas show featuring Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Joe Larson on trombone, Blue White on sax, Bobby Viramontes on drums, and Bruce Kalin on bass. That's Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino, 6:30 to 8:30, Thursday, December 7th. Let's celebrate this holiday season in Bluebird style.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Around the back turn into the home stretch with Boomer Tech Radio. By the way, the theme music is 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood. He's a nice English fellow who writes radio jingles. And
I think he's actually moved out of that line of work somewhat. Yeah. But nevertheless, at the time that we started the show, that was still going on. So.
George, your music is still living on Boomer Tech Radio.
And no, it hasn't made us any money yet, so otherwise we would be happy to share.
No, indeed. Hey, before we get into the Christmas gift potentials list, four hidden tech tools to make your life easier. This according to Fast Company. Little things that come in kind of handy if you're an Apple iOS or Mac OS High Sierra user. This is good with iOS 11 or Mac OS High Sierra or later, which are the most recent iterations. Access Wi-Fi is a feature that makes logging onto Wi-Fi easy, assuming you have somebody nearby at your place of work who's already on the network. Once invited to enter the network's password, hold your device next to your colleague's. The online device offers a prompt to share the password.
Now, that feature is applicable to Apple's iOS 11 and the Mac operating system High Sierra. Right. So,
Meet up with friends. Facebook Messenger has a solution to create a sort of a consensus to where should we eat tonight. Everybody gets to vote.
Kind of a digital survey a la SurveyMonkey kind of thing.
Yeah. So if you've got a large group and everybody's going, well, why don't we try here? Why don't we try here? Instead, you can create an instant survey.
Yep. People can click to vote on different things, and it may be that you're in for tacos again tonight.
Yeah. Hey, embedding a picture into a Google Doc can be kind of cumbersome. I've done this. But, you know, you download the thing, and then you copy it onto your drive, and then you copy it back onto the clipboard and paste it into the document. Half the time it works, and half the time you get a line of code.
Yeah, that's rather awkward, right? This is one reason I sometimes email myself a message, then I can take it from there.
Right. To include a picture from the web in a Google Doc, you can copy the URL, then go to the Insert tab in Google Docs, click Image, choose by URL, and paste that into the document. Boom, next time you open the document, you will see the picture because the Google Docs will go fetch
out,
the image.
It gets it from the web.
So if
right.
it's still there in its original place, there it will be. Microsoft Office 365 has a smart lookup. You can highlight a word, right-click on it, and discover definitions, synonyms, and other citations, all tailored to the context of that particular sentence. So,
which is kind of scary.
Well, the thing
that
is,
it goes through and looks through all the words and decides.
How many misuses of words have we seen in supposedly professionally written documents?
Many of them. I did have a coworker put out a message the other day that said, bear with me, and he spelled bear, B-A-R-E, and I said, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get bear with you. I'm not going to bear it.
That is very messy.
It is, yes. There's many of them that are all over the net as to there and there and, you know. Oh, lots of them.
Not all of them are
they're possessive. Yes, they're possessive versus they're the place and all of this kind of stuff. And if you spell it right, it often does not catch the usage aspect of it. So that's what's kind of nice about this.
I am
if you're not sure.
Getting closer to just turning off autocorrect on my note because on the messaging, it wants to substitute words that have nothing to do with what I'm talking about. And they're weird words.
You know, I found, though, if you use the finger letter-to-letter thing, it actually does better at spelling it than I do. I have fewer errors, but you do have to watch it if it's something non-standard.
Yeah, if you want to use if you want to use one of Captain Kirk's colorful metaphors, you
you have to. It'll try to redirect you to something else.
It'll try to put in something.
You really
less,
meant this, didn't
less,
you?
You know, more safe for work.
Yes.
All right, as promised, this is a list from CNET of some tech gifts that are just in time, and maybe you've wanted to upgrade the family TV. Could be you're one of the last remaining people who has a you know a 27-inch picture tube type TV that's eating more power than some small countries now.
Not to mention the footprint
the
that takes up in the room.
Yeah,
the picture
heats the house.
Kind of the picture compared to today's flat HD screen, high definition screens, they look pretty anemic actually.
And talk about, you know, and this is a 4K set. It's a brand I hadn't heard of before.
I've seen the brand, I just don't know much about it.
Yeah, but it's TCL, and you can get a 43-inch 4K smart TV with Roku built in. In other words, that's the digital video streaming service that you sign up for. So that's kind of what's paying the freight for this thing, because how else can you get a 43-inch 4K flat screen for $350?
That's a good question.
This thing isn't going to last 20 years, I'll tell you that.
No, and at that price point, you don't expect it to. I mean, and it, as time goes by, it will be even cheaper for these kinds of things.
You want to go with a brand that a lot of people have heard of. Vizio is selling a 55-inch M series. This is also a 4K television. This is the year when 4K TVs, to me, finally are starting to make sense. The Vizio 4K has LED lighting, up conversion, and costs about $700. That's a 55-inch M series Vizio, which is pretty good for most living room type situations.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, don't have a lot of money to spend, but you want that sort of thing, Vizio certainly is not a disaster in terms of brand name and that sort of thing. They actually get pretty good reviews a lot of times.
If you absolutely have to have the latest and greatest, OLED is now the king of picture technology, especially OLED with high dynamic range, organic LED.
Super thin screens.
Yes. The difference between an LED set and an OLED set is as follows. And, quote, LED set doesn't have anything special about it except instead of fluorescent lamps around the perimeter to make the screen light up, it has light-emitting diodes around the perimeter to light the screen, which gives it better color range and operates a lot cooler. But it is still lighting a backplane that then shines through what amounts to colored filters, and it does it very, very fast. An OLED screen, on the other hand, costs more because it is a better technology that radiates the light directly off the screen. The screen is made up of hundreds of thousands of very tiny light-emitting diodes. This OLED screen from LG, it's their C7P series. It'll set you back about $2,700, but it is the very best picture quality you can get these days. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
And so think about $2,700 is a bit steep, but LCD TVs were selling in that price point just a few years ago.
Right. Then the televisions are coming down. If you want to wait for OLED, that'll drop in place as well.
I think in about 2 years I can be ready for OLED. We'll see where that goes.
If you have or subscriptions to Netflix, Hulu.
And you have a good flat screen.
Yep, have a good flat screen, Google Play. It's a pain in the butt to have to call these things up on your screen and navigate through them. And I think that is not the point of this device. But Roku has the Roku Express, and at a dirt cheap price of $30. It's really crammed with about every streaming video app that you can imagine.
Now, we had occasion to use a Roku at a VRBO we were staying in, and we found it to be reasonable. I had a problem. Remember, I was complaining the other night. The interface, and
right.
I think it was the HBO Now app,
right.
has a horrible interface.
Yep.
I hope that they fix it, because trying to find something on the app was an absolute
chore. So old school.
Yeah.
I mean, they all used to be like that, but it's like, well, who does this way anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. also, from Roku, for a little bit more, the...
$75.
Yeah, if you want to spend about $75 and get a full 4K streaming experience, even if you don't have a 4K television, this thing will give you a heck of a nice picture. The Roku Streaming Stick Plus... connects up to the appropriate port on the television. It's externally powered. You connect it up to your Wi-Fi, and it gives you excellent streaming quality that you can take with you if you go to one of these vacation rentals or you have a hotel or something like that. You know, I should just plug this thing into their set, and your accounts and everything are already on the device, which is very
Sweet.
Nice. Some hotels, though, are now catching wise to this, and they're gluing
it.
Or fastening the connector into their set and blocking off the other ports.
Yep. Very annoying. They want
make sure you're not going to get in trouble for yanking the HDMI cable out.
They want you to do the pay-per-view type thing and so on and so forth, which they derive benefit from, I'm sure. Apple TV's been up and down and all around, and I don't know if it's particularly taken off all that well. But
it has a fan base.
Oh, yeah, sure. But there's now an Apple TV 4K, and it runs about $180.
Nice thing about the Apple TV is it's the latest generation. It's got a lot of memory in it. It's got a very powerful A6 processor, which is the same processor that runs the top-end iPhones. It has enough buffering memory in it that you don't get the stuttering even when you're doing 4K, because you need a lot of storage
right.
to be able to stream 4K properly, because it has to buffer ahead, because almost nobody's connection is fast enough to real-time stream 4K.
Yeah, supports Dolby Vision, which is, excellent stuff, yeah.
We've got a couple of portable Bluetooth speakers. We use them in various applications. We've got waterproof ones. We've got a couple of the hockey pucks. We've got a little Bose, which is definitely not waterproof. But we've got our little iHome, which is a waterproof type speaker.
Yep. But if you're on a budget, you know, you're always trying to look for the best bang for the buck, and this might be your solution.
If you want to take it boating, here you go. The JBL Flip 4 for about $85, fully waterproof, great battery life, and pretty decent sound because it is a JBL device.
As if that...
For not...
As if that in itself made it, you know,
but
one of those things.
For not too much more money... usually Bose is associated with something being really expensive, but Bose's small Bluetooth speaker, and I'm trying to find the model number on the thing, the SoundLink
Micro.
Now, I've got a SoundLink desktop speaker that sounds amazingly good. The thing is the size of a blackboard eraser and delivers stunning bass if you set it into a corner.
Not too bad.
The small Bluetooth speaker from Bose, this SoundLink Mini, is fully waterproof, excellent travel speaker, costs you about $109. And, of course, during Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Amazon was selling the Dot.
Oh, cheap.
The Echo Dot for $30. So even if you decide, okay, you know, this really isn't what I thought it was going to be, you're out $30. But I'm telling you something, just as a barbecue timer or
newsflash, weather check.
What
weather,
is the news?
What's the
latest weather? Real hard to go wrong. with one of these things, and you'll find yourself using it more and more.
The second gen right behind that, Amazon Echo.
And now it's in a wood grain.
Hello, Alexa.
Yeah.
Just fired off somebody's unit for $100. I think originally these were around $170 or something.
Yeah, I think
the
we
original.
Paid about $100.50 for ours.
Ours was on sale, quote unquote, $135, I think, but whatever. This offers better sound than the Dot, just because it's bigger and can hold a bigger speaker. But
and
$100
different
for
colors
this,
and this, the one we're looking at on the screen here,
has
is
a
in
nice
wood grain
yeah. thing on it. Yeah.
If you want really good sound, though, you're going to want to go Sonos. Sonos AirPlay. Which one is this? I think this is the Sound One. The Sonos One.
Yeah.
Nice wireless speaker that integrates with a Alexa type or Echo type system. Super sound quality. It will be able to play the same music over multiple speakers in the house, and it will work with either Alexa or Google Home.
AirPlay 2, apparently, is
which
coming
is
up
from
with
Apple,
that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's about $200, very close to $200.
UE, which
suggested
makes
retail.
UE, which makes some very interesting speakers. I've got a couple of them. The UE Blast is an Alexa-powered speaker with... pretty good sound quality, and also has a rechargeable battery, so it's good for use outside by the pool, whatever, they're fully waterproof.
So this is an interesting experiment we're running here. I'm using my new tablet to follow along with this article. Bob's on his laptop with it. His laptop has more brain power and responds quicker to things, and the site that we're looking at on CNET has all these dastardly ads.
All the pop-ups.
That are driving me nuts, and
the pop-ups are hammering
slow on the tablet. Yeah, really, really annoying.
That is a problem when you go to look something up and you get 50 different pop-ups. And yep. I don't have a pop-up blocker because I just haven't gotten around to installing one. But I'm pretty sure there's a pop-up blocker for your tablet. If you don't want to go into wireless speakers, there's a set of sound buds from Anker, A-N-K-E-R, for $30. These sound pretty good. They're the Sound Buds Slim. Have interchangeable tips, and it looks like they got a little hook on them to keep them in place when you put them on your ear.
Either that or it's how you pull them out. I haven't quite decided, because they get in there, and sometimes these little thingies are hard to get out of your ear. $26, which is not too bad for a set of earbuds, particularly if they sound pretty good.
Of course, Beats has become a big name in headphones. Mm-hmm. The Beats X are a neckband-style headphone. Can be used both as sports and everyday headphones. They are discounted down to right around $100 with interchangeable pieces and excellent sound. And, of course, then there are the AirPods, which a lot of people have made fun of, but they actually sound pretty good. And oddly enough, the design does tend to stay put. I was worried about that. You know, here's your $200 AirPods falling out and getting stepped on.
I wouldn't use
them in Reading because you sweat too much.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing, right? They look like somebody stuffed a cigarette in their ear. It's this weird-looking little white stick thing.
Something a little more traditional from a brand that is well-known among people who wear headphones, including the ones we're wearing at this precise moment, is a record Sennheiser. The HD 4.5 BTNC wireless headphones, effective noise canceling. In other words, if you're in a noisy environment, they actually set up a counter to the noisy environment, seal out the outside world so you can focus on your music. Sennheiser HD 4.5 BTNC, and I'm not sure what that stands for, wireless headphones. Any wireless headphone that relies on a Bluetooth connection is not going to have the super great sound, but you're not getting tangled up in your wires either.
Even though they're a little pricey, like a lot of wireless headphones at $200, they cost a lot less than Bose's version.
Bose's version of the wireless headphones with noise
$350.
Yeah, the Quiet Comfort $35, but some people will insist on having a Bose. Meanwhile, Sony has a very nice set of headphones for about that same price point. Wireless, noise canceling. These are competitors to the Bose. These are the Sony WH-1000 XM2. And they come in a nice white color and offer many of the same features at about the same price. So basically, it's a matter of what it is that you're really into. I think we'll skip the games through here. If you are looking maybe to either you like to get into games or maybe you're looking to buy the very special kit on your list, something, make sure they don't already have one or that they have games that are compatible with it. But the Xbox One X, the most powerful home console available today at about $500. It's a full-blown big game. In fact, Xboxes can be stacked to make a supercomputer for mining your Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, I don't know if you'd want to invest in that many of them, right?
If you're not doing 4K and you want to just kind of play a few games, though, that aren't super-duper fast, the Sony PS4, you can get one of those for about $275. If you want to up the game a little bit, the Sony PlayStation 4.
So to speak.
Yeah. The Sony PlayStation 4 Pro will set you back not quite $400. So the Xbox is quite a bit more. Cheap smartphones. We're still looking at the Moto G5 Plus.
Yep.
And this has been floating to the top of a lot of lists for people. An economy smartphone with a lot of bang for the buck, the Moto G5 Plus, depending on where you buy it from, but you can get an unlocked smartphone for $200 that does an awful lot of capability. It's not as powerful as, say, an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 7, I should say, or a Galaxy 8, but it's still a lot of bang for the buck. The iPhone SE is, of course, an entry-level iPhone.
At $400.
Yeah, $400. If you're going up the food chain a little bit, let's see, they skipped over to the Pixel, the Android Pixel. It cost you about $650.
Galaxy S8, which is now out and has been for a little while, $750, which probably has excellent performance and is certainly cheaper than the $1,000 for an iPhone X.
Or the $1,000 for the Note.
There's that, too.
$950 for the Note. We got ours on a pretty good deal. In fact, it was a BOGO. So
yeah,
it
was
price.
Kind of like a BOGO trade-in and whatever. It worked out to be pretty good pricing.
Yep. And then the 8 Plus iPhone, about $800. Just giving you an idea of some of the prices. And then, of course, the iPhone X, or X as some people call it, and a cool $1,000.
Yep. So more back in the audio thing, we can see the Google Chromecast audio for $35. And it might make a good stocking stuffer. It's really interesting. It's this disc-looking thing that fits in the palm of your hand.
Hockey puck size.
Yeah, a little tiny thing. Smaller than a hockey puck, maybe. Certainly not as thick as a hockey puck. But ironically, what I find interesting about the appearance of this is that it looks like a vinyl record.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's or if you use your imagination, a CD too. But it looks like a vinyl record.
Yeah, it's got little grooves on it.
Yep.
All right, you want to get the most out of your flat screen television without running wires all over the place and annoying the wife? Well, you're going to want to get yourself a sound bar. The Vizio sound bar you can get for about $150. Reviewers say it sounds much more expensive than it is. This particular model is the SB3621 Vizio soundbar. Now, as we move up the price points from up the food chain there, I would get one of these if I had to purchase again. I'm probably going to wrap it up right about here. We have heard the Yamaha soundbars.
Right. They're pretty fancy schmancy.
Are amazing. We heard one of the first demos of a Yamaha room filling soundbar that had our jaws hitting the floor.
What's interesting about this, though, is that the price of these is starting to come down to where you get some pretty decent sound for not a lot of money.
At the time we looked at the one at CES, it was over $1,200.
Yeah, exactly. And that same one is probably now down around $500 or something like that.
But the ability of a sound bar to give you full surround sound capabilities, and absolutely nothing short of stunning.
Right, and if you want to review some of these things and look for more that's on the list, as they have a lot more, go to, you can Google CNET, just C-N-E-T, and Best Tech Gifts for 2017, and it should come right up to the top of your browser list.
Wow, what a week, and what a week in tech. And we'll be back next week with a lot more tech stories. Subscribe to the podcast. BoomerTechRadio.com is the website. Subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play Store. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other. Takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The Senate finally passes a sweeping Republican tax reform bill.
The yeas are 51 and the nays are 49. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, as amended, is passed.
Vice President Mike Pence announcing the final tally in the wee hours of the morning. Every Republican except one voted for the bill. Every Democrat voted against it. The one Republican who broke ranks with his party was Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee. His opposition was not a surprise. Earlier on Friday, he released a statement that he could not support the bill due